On the Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community, I'm in the studio with Tyrone Ferguson, who is speaking with us tonight about his practice as a metal worker, a blacksmith, an artist. Many of you listening probably know him already, but even those of you listening that don't think you know him probably do know him, because if you've seen a very beautiful set of gates, a lot of homes at West, but also at East, with these really wonderful kind of foliage on them, something extraordinary and something that might even make you pull your car over and say, you know, I need to look at that again. That would be a Tyrone Ferguson work, even though he also makes objects as well, sort of, you know, strictly kind of art objects, like you spoke to at Transforming Spaces, like things that will hang on the wall or sit on your coffee table, but that's sort of a different part of your practice. We're talking to him because we've commissioned him, the National Art Gallery, to create a set of gates for the sculpture garden and for the main building. And we met on that a few times, so why don't we share a little bit with the audience, like how that came about and how that's working for you. How's it going?
Well, firstly, you know, with commission, I have to find out who's serious about wanting me to work and who are not. So I normally probably ignore the first request, you know, for looking at some work. After about the third call, like, hey, like, they must be serious.
So it's a bit like when a guy's asking you out. You have to let him work a little bit.
Kindish. So I'm usually working in an environment where when I go to a meeting, the biggest question is when I would be interested in doing the work, you know, because, you know, I'm always booked up at work sometimes like a year in advance, because so much of the work is so, like, time sensitive.
Sure.
You know, like, a lot of hours go into producing the work.
Yeah. What would you say in general? I mean, it's probably hard to say because one set of gates is going to be more intricate than the other, but how long does it take, more or less, once you've decided, like, to order the metal, to work on the metal, how many months would you say
it
that normally?
It can take up to, I normally, like, call it, like, in terms of hours, it can take up to 400 to 500 hours to do a particular set of
that's incredible
of gates.
And so what then leads you to accept a commission? You said you have to feel like you're interested in it. Is it the way the client speaks about the project? Is it the location itself, maybe? Is it sometimes there are certain homes or certain areas that you feel connected to? What's the combination of things that would lead you to say
the location has really nothing to do with it for me? It's like challenges. You know, this project is going to, you know, present challenges to me. So I want challenges. If someone asks me to do the same thing that I did for someone down the road, I'm not going to be interested in it. If I can convince them that it would be better for them to go, you know, in a unique direction of their own, and they're excited about that, then we probably can start looking.
Well, but I think that's what makes you an artist, right? Because if somebody just wants the same set of gates, there's no longer anything creative in there. And I think that's, I mean, as many of the things I've seen that you've made, there's never ever two that are the same. Never. So, and I mean, that's what makes it an artwork, really, right? Is that it's unique and handmade.
So people would look at my work and say, like, how much is one like that? You know, and I would say, well, you know, you can't get one like that. So let's not talk about that one, just one like that.
Right.
Let's talk about, you know, what's good for you. Let's have a conversation about that. And normally the people who approach me, it's like I'm approached by people who kind of know what the work is all about. So I don't get to, like, have to, like, say no to a whole lot of people, because, you know, people, when they approach me, they already have an idea, or they've seen the work somewhere, or they've had conversations about the work. So I come into the process, you know, like, okay, he's here. Let's see how he can change the dynamics of this entrance. And it's usually a conversation about entryways, either entry doors or entry gates.
Definitely. And I think the National Art Gallery has actually suffered from its not very lovely gates. I think, you know, when I first came home, they were still black, and they were these black iron, I think they're iron, I don't know, I'm not a metal expert, but they look sort of like prison gates, actually.
Just function.
And just functional and very, and not inviting, not even when they were open, not like, they were saying, go away. They were not saying, please come in. And I think for me, that was the biggest psychological issue, is I wanted something that said, hey, come in. It's there's beauty here. And I remember when we first sat down, it was funny because you came, I had all these ideas and you had all these ideas, and we kept saying, oh, that's just what I was thinking. And it was that lunch at Athena.
That's right.
And I just felt like right from the beginning, there was something you saw in the project that excited you, or, and it not just excited you, but excited you in a way that I was getting excited about too. So
it's hard to explain how that part of it worked, but I know it works like intuitively. Mm-hmm. Like you just know that, you know, this is okay, that this is going to be all right, and that you can, you know, move with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this, you know, that this is possible, and you already start seeing the outcome. You start seeing the finish line.
So you're about, what, halfway through the process now for us, more or less?
I would say the hardest part is done, which is like the very functional part. Mm-hmm. Because it's the framing, because you're framing this organically.
Mm-hmm.
But then it has to function in a particular way. It has to be square, even though it doesn't look square.
Right.
It has to.
It still has to, because it has to actually not like tilt on the things. But so would you say at this point, kind of halfway through, that it's what you had in your mind when we first started talking about it? Or are you still being surprised?
I would say I'm still being surprised. it always moves beyond, you know, what I'm seeing in my mind, because sometimes in my mind, you know, I'm limited to what I've experienced thus mm-hmm. far. But when I begin working, then, you know, I see the process flowing in slightly different dimensions, because you may hit the metal harder than you expected to hit it. And it's like, hey, well, okay, that's good. Maybe I should try another harder blow. And then you start feeling mm-hmm. the metal itself. And that's when mm-hmm. there's a correspondence between what you are seeing in your mind's eyes and what the metal is saying to you at that time of the day. Maybe it's saying something different to you in the morning from it was saying in the evening.
Well, it gets tired too. You've been hitting it all day. So in fact, and I think one of the nice things that we've spoken about at some length is, so we have the sculpture garden next door to the gallery that hasn't got a sculpture in it yet, but will very soon. And that's slowly been forming. And part of that idea is we're replanting it with Bahamian natives from the Leon Levy Preserve, which, interestingly, you also made some gates for them. So it's kind of interesting as well that people who have a feeling for certain things seem to gravitate towards. And so they're really about, you know, preserving what's Bahamian originally, and also speaking to sort of what was here, you know, before really colonizers came, or even the pirates. And so we're replanting part of the garden with these native Bahamian species, and we want to kind of tell a story through the landscape about, you know, the landscape itself and the building and that site. And that site was connected to the first African hospital. And so I think it's a very meaningful site, and that's why we wanted to honor it somehow and not just leave it as this kind of bush there, but create something beautiful out of it. And there's this idea of tying art with healing, and plants with healing, of course, like from traditional Bahamian bush medicine. And so I felt like, and that was one of the ideas I sort of wanted from the gates, or I imagined could come together or be communicated. And I think that's something very powerful in your work, is there's a lot of spirituality and about connecting back to roots and healing.
You know, just hearing you, I started seeing the little gate that's going to go up to the sculpture garden, and how it ties into the whole
mm-hmm.
process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about the hospital lane, healing, roots.
And culture.
You know, so we're talking about almost like a storyboard, you know, the journey, where we came from,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we are, the potential of where we're headed in mm-hmm. the future. And I think we're headed to a very beautiful place, because what I see us doing is bringing the Eastern and Western modalities of healing together. So there's something that we always had in Bahamian folklore,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we kind of kicked to the side, mm-hmm. but it's like, it was always dear, though mm-hmm. dormant, but I think it's mm-hmm. like coming back and just...
I think it's coming back a lot as people realize, first of all, you know, what we have. I think, you know, there's always that first period of wealth where you just want to buy things, right? And you sort of forget about the beauty of what you had. And I think now we're at that phase where people are beginning to remember that there's things we have to protect and there's things that are important, and it's not only about moving forward but also honoring the past. And I think, you know, bush medicine comes into that. Like, I think people are really going back to, you know, all these different spiritual aspects of yoga and all, you know, people getting into things like they just don't want to put medicines in their body. They want to put healthy things in their body. And I think that's helping bush medicine come back a lot. But this idea of like culture and healing, I think, is really important. And connecting back to something traditional, because I'm, you know, you in fact told me, I hadn't really thought about it before, because when I think about African art, I think about wood carving very often, and I think about, of course, adornment, you know, beads and, you know, but you told me that in fact metalworking was something that really goes back in the history of African history, which I didn't know. And I find that also very meaningful.
Indeed. You know, I went to this place in Africa, in Ghana, you know, in West Africa, you know, where they did blacksmithing and lhasa casting the way they did it like 300 years ago. So they still operated in actually the same way with forges in the ground.
And, oh, really?
That kind of stuff. And blowing bellows, blowing air into the fire and all that kind of stuff. And I was fascinated by the work that they produce. Because here it is, you know, today we're working with modern technologies to produce work. But if we had to produce work the way they're producing it, it would be too costly for us to just do substantial work.
And did you, when you went to Africa, did you, at what point was that in your development, first of all? Were you still just a, quote unquote, just a blacksmith? Or were you already an artist at that point? Were you going to find, or did you discover when you got there?
I think, you know, traveling to Africa was more like a pilgrimage. Like, I was feeling the connection and wanted to, like, explore, you know, my history, you know, my culture, where I came from, and all that kind of stuff. And intuitively, instinctively, it has something to do probably with the Middle Passage. Most of the ships came from that coast, you know, of Africa. So I just went back there.
And then you discovered the metalsmithing while you were there, or did you go looking for it? Or did you just, you know, how did that happen that you came up on that?
I kind of knew they were there.
Yeah.
So I went looking to find them. And I think it was like a shock in that it was still the same way it used to be like hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
And so really I was already practicing my form of work with all the new equipments and all that kind of stuff. So I walked away with a whole lot of like connectivity, a whole lot of respect, a whole lot of awe, because I realized that, you know, they were doing what they were doing. It was like passed down from one generation to the next generation. So it was almost like you had to be called to be a part of this, you know, performance, because that's what it was in a way.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was like a dance, because they're usually working with an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are watching this magic happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was always associated with magic. Because
yeah, of course.
These same people who are making these work, these are the same people who made the tools that did wood carving. And eventually some of them became wood carvers.
Mm-hmm.
These were the same people who made the knives that performed the circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
They did the circumcision also. So they were like a revered, you know, sect of society, you know, that were like distinguished in the growth of the culture, in that if you had to go to war, then you needed a good blacksmith to make
for sure,
the
weapons
of war, that kind of stuff.
And still today, are they considered like very important in the community?
You know what? Not as much as they were, because now the artist blacksmith, as he's known today, is really mostly making stuff, you know, for function and for for art. Mm-hmm. You know, for function would be for ceremonies, and they're having less and less of those ceremonies than they than they used to have in the past. So here it is. I find that these same people who were just working for the king and the leaders of the tribes and all that kind of stuff, they're doing stuff now to sell in the craft.
Yeah.
In the craft market.
Interesting.
So there's a shift.
Yeah, well, you know what? And that's a kind of a relationship here, too. So we're going to quickly go to another break. I'm having a really lovely conversation with Tyrone Ferguson, who's a metalworker, blacksmith, artist, who we've just commissioned at the National Art Gallery to create an appropriate set of entrance gates to that marvelous building. And we're talking about, yeah, all the different things around his practice. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.